Good morning. I've been reading some of the journals of Soren Kierkegaard. I love Soren Kierkegaard. Not so much his philosophical works, because they are too deep for me. But I love his religious writings, because he was a devout Christian. But a very unique Christian. He didn't have a long life, only lived 42 years in Copenhagen, Denmark, 1813 to 1855. But in that short lifespan, he wrote about 40 books, 40. And his personal journals fill 11 huge volumes in the collected edition recently translated into English. He was a prolific writer, philosopher, social critic, and a radical, uncompromising Christian. On June 9th, 1837, he wrote in his journal, "When God had created the whole world, he looked at it, and behold, it was very good. When Christ died on the cross, he said, it is finished." Just that. Just wrote that sentence. Some of his journals write have whole pages and pages. Others have single sentences. That struck me for some reason. When God had created the whole world, he looked at it, and behold, it was very good. When Christ died on the cross, he said, it is finished. And I want to take off from what he wrote and go further. Because Christ is the logos of creation. Christ is the words spoken by God at creation, including those definitive words, it was very good. Because the Gospel of John tells us that in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and Logos was God, and everything was created through the Logos, through the Word. And that Word of God that spoke creation into existence became incarnate 2,000 years ago. And we call him Jesus Christ. And with his coming into the world, the Word of God, the Logos of God, came to teach us in person, no longer through Moses or the prophets or the law, but in person. And he came to be our Savior. So when he said, it is finished on the cross, he was saying that his work of saving mankind was finished. Some Christians think that's it. He saved us. He said, it's finished. Nothing remains. We can enjoy the benefits of being saved and wait for heaven. Some Christians, many Christians believe that. The majority of Christians believe that. I don't know. But today in Matthew's gospel, we heard him at the beginning of his journey to the cross, to that cross where he will say, it is finished. And he says, "Δεύτε οπίσω μου και ποιήσω ημάς αλλιείς ανθρώπων." Δεύτε πίσω μου και πίσω εμάς αλλιείς ανθρώπων. That's poorly translated in the version that I read to you, which is based on the Revised Standard Version. Sometimes a good translation, sometimes not so good. It's translated as, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." That's not what the Greek says. The Greek says, "Δεύτε οπίσω μου," come behind me. Come behind me, he says. Stronger than follow me. A lot of people think they follow Jesus, and he will say to them, I don't know you. I don't know you. How far to my side were you? Where were you actually? Where were you follow me? On online maybe, on the internet, in books? He says, "Δεύτε οπίσω μου," come behind me. Come behind me, and I will make you fishers of men. Because really, there is no timeline with Jesus. When you think something is finished, that's when it begins with him. Before he said it is finished on the cross, he forgave his enemies. And he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Nothing is finished while Jesus is still working. As long as there are people still to be forgiven. And he's working through the people who walk behind him. He forgives through the church that walks behind him. We need to be that church. We need to be the church to walk behind him and so that he can make us fishers of men, of people, of lost people. Let's be the church through whom he forgives people who don't know what they are doing. Kierkegaard wrote on April 12, 1838, "Christ walks in history as he walked in life, his earthly life, between two robbers, one of whom hardens his heart, the other repents." You see what he's saying? He takes the two robbers on the cross with Jesus, and he says Jesus is walking through the earth, always walking among us, between two robbers, one who hardens his heart and the other who repents. There are people in churches who presume to walk next to Jesus, who presume that they can make him more relevant and acceptable to the depravities of today's world. That's not who we are. And if you think that's who we are, you don't belong here. Because that's not what the church, the Orthodox Church, is. Because we strive to be people and church who only speak what the Logos speaks and what he taught the apostles to speak. Today's gospel reading actually sums up this process. This process. Christ came into the world. He goes and watches on the shore of Lake of the Sea of Galilee, just like he came into the world. And he commands us to walk behind him, to be true to him and to his words. And then he promises that he will make us fishers of men. In other words, he will finish the job of making us who we are meant to be. And then for every one of us, and maybe for this church, he will say, "It is finished. It's done. It's done. Let me move on to somebody else now, to another church." He comes into the world, he commands us to walk behind him, and he makes us something else. He finishes the job. St. Paul today in his epistle to Romans said, refers to that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. Τα κρυπτά των ανθρώπων. According to my gospel, Paul says, so much had Paul identified himself with Jesus. So much was he walking behind Jesus that he could take the gospel that saves and calls it my gospel, because he had totally identified himself with the gospel that he had received from Jesus. That, dear friends, is what it means to walk behind him, to walk behind Jesus, so that his words become our words. His gospel becomes our gospel. According to my gospel, Paul says, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus, not by somebody else, not by some law, not by some social strategy, but by Christ Jesus. God judges us by Christ Jesus. Simple. Hangs together. He is the key. He is our motivator. He is our mouth that we speak. He is our salvation. And he is the one through whom God will judge us. It is not enough to believe in Christ. It is not enough to quote his words when it suits our feelings or agendas. When you turn Jesus into a teacher of situational ethics, which is what people do, except you usually do it without Jesus. But if you turn Jesus into a teacher of situational ethics, he becomes dispensable. You don't need him. And eventually he disappears altogether, which is what has happened. And it is happening. As a growing percentage of young people, 40% as of recent studies, as a growing percentage of young people, and increasingly old people as well, declare no religion and are rapidly turning into the AI that they constantly tap on their phones. They have no religion because their God is now AI. And Steven Spielberg is about to reinforce that message in his newest movie that's out right now. Without God, without Christ, human beings are left alone in a world with no divine order, no cosmic justice, and then morality itself collapses and life loses its meaning. And is it any wonder that the rate of suicides keeps increasing? G.K. Chesterton was the author of the Father Brown mysteries, the beginning of the 20th century. But he was also a very orthodox Roman Catholic. And one of his books is called Orthodoxy. He said this about 100 years ago. I love this. He was also a funny man. I came across this. He said this about 100 years ago. Man has always lost his way, but now he has lost his address. Nothing new that man is losing his way. He wrote this 100 years ago. Imagine if he were writing this today. It'd probably be even more cynical than that. Man has always lost his way, but now he has lost his address. There have always been people losing their way, but they knew where home was and where they needed to return, just like we hear in the parable of the prodigal son, that we read that in the fall. Now, there is no home for many people. No base, no root, no place that they can return to. They are lost and wandering in a world that lives in screens. The screen of a phone becomes home, except it's not home. It's an illusion, an artificial reality that sooner or later snaps. And the lostness, being lost becomes irreparable. But Christ continues to say, even on some screens, if you know where to look for, even on some screens, Jesus Christ still says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come to me. Come walk behind me. And some young people find a message on a screen that sends them to an Orthodox church, and praise God for that. St. Justin Popovich, whose memory we commemorate today in the Orthodox Church, was a great theologian, a Serbian theologian, and now a saint of the 20th century. Justin Popovich, while he was alive and living in the midst of a Europe that was transforming into the monster that it is now, he saw the troubles that would come to Europe as it rejected its Christian heritage, much as the U.S. is doing now. So he offered, you probably have never heard this word before, so I'll introduce you to it. He offered the Orthodox theanthropic vision as the antidote for what we're seeing in Europe. And he offers it to us as well. Theanthropino. From the way we call Jesus Christ many times, Theanthropos. He's the God-man. He's the one who is God and man. So Justin Popovich developed this vision, this theanthropic vision of culture, of life, of the world that brings together the divine and the human, which ultimately is the goal and the purpose of the Orthodox Church. And if we fail in doing that, if we fail to even remember that, back up and just do a festival year-round and just serve food. We are here to signify, to represent, to remind people that it is very good, that what God created was very good, and it still is very good. And we are meant to be very good, and we are meant to be holy, we are meant to be transfigured, for all of reality to become theanthropini, theanthropic. Justin Popovich wrote books describing what his country, what his continent should be. Just as some years later, Pope Benedict XVI also did. But people don't listen. People prefer their artificial realities, which have nothing to do with realities. It's a wonderful word, theanthropic. It's a vision you won't easily find on your phone unless you do a search for it. And you won't find it in a disclosure about UAPs. You know what those are, right? Unidentified anomalous phenomenon. What we used to call UFOs now are called UAPs. And everybody's waiting with bated breath about the disclosure. More of these videos coming out. And Steven Spielberg's movie is called Disclosure Day. It's about the disclosure. And believe me, it's not nothing to do with God. Because the only disclosure that we need is the one that came 2,000 years ago, which said, come behind me, and I will make you fishers of men. And I will stand with you on the other disclosure day, the day when all our secrets will be judged through him and in him who said, come behind me, and I will make you fishers of men. May his holy name be glorified. Amen.